Welcome to the Beauty in Battle podcast, where we talk about winning in marriage by waging a war. I'm Jason Benham. I've got my girlfriend slash wife, Tori Benham, with me, and we are here to talk to you about how Satan tries to get you to fight face-to-face with your spouse, but God designed you to fight shoulder-to-shoulder against Satan so that you can win in your marriage. Fighting together draws you together. We cannot wait to jump in. So here we go. Okay, today is going to be a fun conversation. We're talking about connecting through conversation. That's a lot of use of the word.
A lot of C's.
Conversation there.
So connect through conversation.
Yeah. So here's a question. It's a question for you, Tor.
Okay.
Have you ever been lost in a conversation with somebody and totally lost track of time?
Of course. Have you?
With you.
Yeah.
Okay. Of course. Okay. So, you know, all of us have done that, where we've just, you know, really enjoyed a conversation with somebody. And we've honestly done it probably a lot with our spouse.
Yeah.
Maybe you did a lot before you got married. You're not doing it so much after you got married, but maybe you should. But what's going on then? Mm-hmm. And it's because subconsciously you're connecting with that person that you're having a conversation with. Okay. And you're connecting with them on a deep level. Why? Because God made us for connection. He first wants us to connect with him, and then he wants us to connect with others, primarily your spouse. Mm-hmm. Now, Satan hates this connection, so he's going to do everything in his power to stop it, to keep it from happening.
Right.
So what we need to do as couples is to keep our conversations going, both with God and with each other. Okay, so that's what we're going to talk about.
I love it.
Does that sound fun?
Let's do it.
And Tori's got some really cool research that she discovered in terms of the importance of conversation and what makes a super communicator.
Yes.
Because that's what we want to be in marriage. We want to be super communicators. Okay, now before we do, before we dive into that, we want to play you a song. And I got a really good one. Okay, so when Tori and I first got married, I think this movie had come out like 1 or 2 years before we got married. Notting Hill.
Oh, yes.
With what's her name? Julia Roberts and Hugh Grant.
Wait, where was this? Where was the setting?
The setting is in Notting Hill, London.
London, that's right. Yeah. Okay, so this is the movie that got us moving towards London. Right after we got married, we watched this movie while we were dating, and we're like, we need to go to London. Like, that's got to be the first thing on our bucket list when we get married. And then we watched the movie several times, got married, moved to Atlanta.
Yeah.
And Jason surprised me a couple months in and said, guess what?
For her birthday.
Yeah, for my birthday.
We went to London.
We went to London.
We went to Notting Hill.
Yep.
And in the movie, there's this famous blue door that's on their flat. And we took a picture in front of the blue door. Now, this is before we had cell phones, like legit. We had like disposable cameras. So I have no idea where those pictures are. Do you?
They're like, I think they're in a scrapbook somewhere, honestly, because I just had to print them out.
Tori and I were talking about, we were talking about this the other day. We don't have any digitized pictures of our wedding. No video, nothing.
Yeah, that's right.
We need to fix that.
We're like from the dark ages.
I know.
A little fun fact for you. So we went to London. This is before we had kids, and we said one day we're going to have a little girl named her London,
which is where
Lundy comes from. We had Allie, and that was always my favorite girl name. And so we first went with that one. And then when we had our little cherry on top, Lundy, we said, okay, we're going to name her London. And then the whole pregnancy, I called her Lundy for short. It was just like, all of us were just like, shortened it to Lundy. And by that time she was born, we're like, we're not naming her London. We're naming her Lundy. She's going to have her own original name.
Yeah. So going on trips overseas to really cool, fun places has always been something that we wanted to do. So we did it before we had kids. And then when our kids got older, we started bringing them. Well, actually I say we started bringing them. We brought them out to London with us. We brought them to Paris. We brought them to Wales. Then we asked if they wanted to go to Italy. They're like, heck no. So Tori and I went to Italy.
Okay. See you guys.
Yeah. But anyway, so speaking of London, Notting Hill is the movie that made us want to go to London. So in Notting Hill, they got a great soundtrack in Notting Hill. And that's one of my things is I just love good soundtracks. And this song is my favorite rendition of the song, When You Say Nothing At All. Keith Whitley sang it. I think Keith Whitley sang it originally. And his version is my favorite.
Yeah.
But this one is really cool. It's by Ronan Keating. And it's on the Notting Hill soundtrack. When You Say Nothing At All, here's the chorus. The smile on your face lets me know that Catch me, Tori. Come on.
You do say it best when you say nothing at all.
You stole my line. I think every guy who's been in a position where his wife really wanted to talk, but he was exhausted, that he's wanted to play that song. I tell you what, honey, I totally get what you're saying, but how about we just don't say anything right now? We just sit shoulder to shoulder and watch a movie.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get back to connecting through conversation. So, because obviously you say it best when you say nothing at all, but in reality, you got to say something if you want to connect. Okay. Very fitting song, I think.
For this conversation.
Yeah, for this conversation. Okay. So the other day I was at CrossFit and this dude came up to me, and this is what gave me the genesis for us to want to do a podcast on this. It made me start thinking about it. He said, "How long you and your wife been married?" And I said, "Well, this December it's going to be 24 years. He goes, "And you guys still talk that much?" He's like, "Whenever I see you walk in," he's like, "you're always lost in some conversation and it looks like you're getting to know each other," or whatever. I forget exactly how he said it. And I started thinking about that. I just laughed. I was like, "Oh yeah, you know, she's always reading a book. I'm always reading a book and we're talking about it, you know, and like, we're just talking about stuff."
Mm-hmm.
And it did make me think. And so I started talking to Tori. I was like, what does make the best conversations for couples? Like, because obviously you do see couples who've been married a long time or whatever. And it's like, well, we don't have anything to talk about. So we just don't talk as much.
Right. Right.
And I don't think that that's okay. I think that there are times when for sure that's okay.
Yeah.
But I do think that it's important to have conversations with your spouse on a consistent basis.
We've been talking about this all week because I told Jason, I'm like, it's funny because we were going for a walk recently and one of the neighbor boys was like, how do you and Uncle Jason find things to talk about every day? Like, you guys are always on walks and you're always talking. Like,
yeah, he's engaged now. So he's wondering, how am I going to do this when I get married?
How do you keep, you know, how do you just always have something to talk about?
Yeah.
And so you had just told, we had just run into that guy at CrossFit. And then I was telling you about one of our neighbors who had mentioned that to me. And I was just thinking about what, you know, exactly what you're saying. Like, what is it? And so I started listening to this podcast this past week with an author. His name is Charles Duhigg.
Duhigg, yeah.
Okay, so he wrote The Power of Habit, which I'm sure that we read. I can't remember exactly when we read it, but I think it was maybe like five.
It was a long time
ago. It was a while ago. It's the best, like 10 million copies sold.
Yeah, it's really incredible.
Yeah. And so now he's just written a book called Super Communicators, How to Unlock the Secret Language of Connection.
Mm.
And it was so interesting to me.
He's
a researcher,
obviously.
And so he was on a podcast and he was talking about his new book and he was talking about different things about communication that were just so fascinating to me. And it just kind of hit me. This makes sense to me. He said that the brain wants reward and it needs cues.
Mm.
Hence the power of habit, right? Yeah. Like, he talks a lot about that in the book, Power of Habit.
And I remember the three parts of a habit that he explained in his first book, and I'll just tell it real quick. He said cue, routine, reward, right? So it's cue, and then your routine is your habit,
mm-hmm.
and then your reward mechanism. So the cue is whatever it is that cues you to your habit, which is the second step. That's your habit, whatever your habit is. So it's like, for me, mine would be, if I happen to eat salty food at dinner, that's my cue. My routine or my habit is I go into my room, I get a little 85% dark chocolate, I dunk it in some sun butter and I eat it, right?
Yeah.
And then that reward is all of a sudden, like, I've got that dopamine release and I'm not craving dark chocolate.
Yeah.
Now, I don't always get to do that, but that's your cue, routine, reward. So he was talking about that in his communication.
Yes. And so what he was saying is that good communication is inherently rewarding, right? It's how humans connect. They form families and villages and share information, right? Like, communication is inherently rewarding.
Yeah.
And
because it's connecting.
Yes. And we tend to let both reward and cues go that become routine.
Oh, yeah.
So that makes sense, right? Like, you have this rewarding, like when you first start dating or you just are first in a relationship and you guys have this great communication going, right? Mm-hmm. It's inherently rewarding. You feel it. You're like, I feel connected. This feels really good. And then it should make you want to do more of it, right? It should get you going back for more.
Yeah.
But then oftentimes in relationships, when it becomes too routine, you can let go of those cue and rewards sometimes.
Yeah.
And so I think for us, this is what makes sense to me with our communication. I think that in the last, you know, as the kids have gotten a little bit older and we've become really intentional about walking, really has been like our thing. It's been going for walks and then doing CrossFit together, like having set times for us to catch up and to like, you know, just set times for communication with each other.
Yeah.
And so as we have done that, I feel like we have kind of, we have allowed ourselves to feel that reward of it again, mm-hmm. where it's become new a little, it's become more new to us because we kind of, you know, for years when the kids were little, I feel like we kind of drop the ball a little bit.
We were in survival mode.
Kind of in survival mode and kind of dropped it
for
a little bit. And then as we began to bring it back into our the habit of our life, we began to sense the reward of it, the connection piece of it. And it's like, it really is energizing in your relationship and it keeps you wanting more.
Yeah.
And so that to me makes a lot of sense. I think sometimes when things become routine or life just gets hectic and busy and you drop a healthy habit like this, you just have to be intentional to bring it back and to experience the reward in it and the value and really focus in on the value of it and allowing it back into your life. Right.
Yeah.
And so for us, I think just creating that space for it, we have really experienced a lot of reward from that time together. And now we're like kind of craving it. It's like, I need to catch up. I need to I need to talk to you about this and this, or like, I just read this and I want to tell you about it. Right. Like there is an inherent reward in communication because I feel really connected to you and you feel really connected to me.
And you know, I think one of the things that's the key, at least it's what I feel for you, you feel for me, and we've shared with a lot of couples as they've come in for coaching or whatever, and I've told them the key is that you need to be genuinely curious about your spouse.
Yeah.
Right? You don't ever want to lose your curiosity. You've got to be genuinely curious about what's going on in their life, what they're thinking, and what they're feeling on a consistent basis. Right? Because curiosity causes us to ask questions. Mm-hmm. And what is the one way that you grow close with somebody? When they're asking you questions.
Yeah.
I mean, we've said this several times on our podcast before, but you know somebody who's not really interested in you when they'll answer your questions, but they won't ask you any?
Mm-hmm.
They're interested in you learning about them, but they're not interested in learning about you. So the questions that you ask, how do you stay genuinely curious about each other? Because, you know, there are some people who... Right now they're going through, and Tori and I are coaching a few who are going through where your kids are literally, you got three kids under the age of five.
Yeah. Right.
And at that point, you know, sometimes your curiosity is more transactional. What do I need to do with the kids?
Yeah.
What are our schedules here? How can I help you with this? Let me help you with dinner, like all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But then at some point you've got to move that from transactional into emotional. And we've talked about that. Like, what are the underlying emotions? How are you feeling?
Yeah.
What are you feeling?
Right.
You know, what are you thinking? What are some of the thoughts that go through your mind? So one is the curiosity piece. Yeah. The other is, especially as you get a little older and your kids get a little older or whatever, is that you got to adopt a growth mindset. Mm. If both of you are growing, then you actually will always have something to talk about.
Yes.
So Tori's reading her sets of books. I'm reading my sets of books. And, you know, sometimes we'll read the same one or whatever. We've always got stuff to talk about. I'm like, okay, so what are you learning? Like Tori was just sharing with me some of the stuff that this author Duhigg was saying about super communicators. And I was like, oh, that's really cool. Mm-hmm. You need to share that on the podcast and you're going to share some of this stuff. But if you've adopted a growth mindset where both of you are moving forward and growing, now that gives you something to be curious about.
Yeah, exactly. Right? That's so good. Yeah, that is so true.
What else has Duhigg said? Like, because he said some other things that do make up super communicators.
So one of the things that he covered in this podcast was two really good communication skills. And the first one is mirroring others.
Okay? Mirroring others.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So this is basically like, this song actually is perfect for this, right? Because it's like, you say it best when you say nothing at all, because you are picking up on,
I'm not saying anything,
but you know what they're feeling. It's really just being present with the person that you're talking to and being able to pick up on their emotions. Are they sad? Yeah. Are they happy? Are That's they, good. You know, what are they feeling? And when you can mirror that, right? Like if you're really sad and I come and I'm just like super chipper and like
yeah.
totally ignoring the fact that you're clearly going through something hard and difficult, yeah. right? That's like not what you need in that moment. It's like, come on, like
yeah.
you don't need a hype girl in that moment. Like you need someone to get to go there with you and be like, okay, what's going on? Like something, are you, yeah. is everything good? How are you feeling today? Like, are you, you know, did you get enough sleep last night? I don't know, whatever it is to yeah. kind of like, you're recognizing, you're picking up on their emotion and you want to understand what they're feeling.
Yeah.
So mirroring emotion. And I thought this was really interesting. He talked about, how in NASA, they have all these astronauts that they have to interview before they send them on these trips. And some of these trips are now 6 months to a year long. Mm. Like they used to be a lot quicker, but now these astronauts are out in space for 6 months to a year with each other. And so they go through this interview process with these astronauts. And, one of the things that they're really picking up on that's very important is that they are emotionally intelligent.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how smart they are.
Yeah,
you can't survive cognitively intelligent for 6 months in a tiny capsule unless you're emotionally intelligent.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly what he was saying. He's like, these are the most intelligent human beings in the world. But you put them in a tin can, basically, uh-huh. you know, for 6 months to a year, intelligence is not gonna keep you there. Like
yeah.
they need emotional intelligence to yes. know how to interact with the people that they're literally shoulder to shoulder
yeah.
with, and they can't. That's there's crazy. No escaping. And so, so one of the ways that what they found is these people are so intelligent that they started to, they understand emotional intelligence so well that they can answer questions emotionally intelligent, but they're not always innately yeah. emotionally intelligent, right? And so,
because they're so smart, they're faking it.
Yeah, exactly. And so one of the ways that they were kind of testing this out, the emotional intelligence of these astronauts, is there was this psychologist that would walk into the room and it was, you know, down to a very small group.
Yeah.
They do have to be very intelligent people and they have to pass all these tests first. Mm. But you know, at the end, it's just strictly emotional intelligence that they're looking for. And so this psychologist walks into the room and he has all these papers in his hands and he falls, like kind of like trips, and all the papers go everywhere.
Okay.
And then he did this like crazy laugh, like this, you know, just big, big laugh.
Mm.
Like as if to say, oh my gosh, what a klutz. And the emotionally intelligent astronauts could match that. They would laugh. They would kind of come back with this great laugh,
yeah,
making him feel comfortable. Like they understood that the way that he wanted to, to deal with this embarrassment was laughter, and they picked up immediately and they mirrored it and they laughed and, you know, came to help him. And
that's
the ones that were not so emotionally intelligent, they kind of froze and they weren't able to match.
Uh-huh.
They weren't able to mirror. So I thought that was interesting. And that was the way that they could pick up on emotional intelligence, is that their ability to mirror emotion.
Yeah.
So that was interesting to me. And then the second thing was that good communicators do is they are always asking deeper questions, those that probe feelings and not facts.
Ooh, yeah, that's good.
They're trying to get to the feeling and not just facts. So when you're asking questions, so for like a simple example would be, so like if you're meeting somebody new, you would say, you know, what do you do for work? And then they tell you what they do.
That's fact.
That's a fact, right? But then you want to get to the feeling. So is that something that you always wanted to do when you were a kid, or like what made you interested in that?
What do you like best about it?
Like you're trying to kind of
how
do you feel about your job?
Yeah.
How do you know, you're trying to get to the feeling and not just facts.
And that is so good for couples, because you think about at the end of the day, if you haven't seen each other, one of the first things, how was your day? Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
How was your day? We need to ask that. That's really good. But then we got to get up under that. So long as you've got time, you know, obviously if the kids are running all over the place, you'll have an opportunity to dig deeper later.
Right.
But the goal is to be like, okay, so how are you feeling? Like what, you know, when the kids went down for a nap, did you get a chance to take a rest? And you're like, no, I had to clean up the house. You're like, oh, I'm sorry. You know, you had to do that. Like, how did you, does that bother you that you don't ever get a chance to rest whenever the kids are down? Like, it's like trying to probe and get a little deeper.
Yeah.
Asking questions that you would ask if you were dating. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Because you really want to get to know them better. And you never, ever, ever fully get to know your spouse so well that you can't ever discover anything else.
Yeah.
It's the same with the Lord.
Yep.
Like, there's always more. You know, I heard it said before that reading the Bible is like looking at a diamond. Mm. And then you go back and look at the diamond the next day and just turn it just a little bit.
Yeah.
And you'll see it brand new because it's got all the different shapes and the sun will bounce off of it differently. So that's the same thing with reading scripture. The same thing in our relationship with our spouse is that we never fully know them. So just keep digging.
Yeah.
And you got to dig up underneath, like what he's saying, get beyond the fact and get into the feeling.
Yeah. Which requires a lot of curiosity, right? Like if I think a superpower in relationships is curiosity. It's just genuinely being curious about your spouse, right? Like genuinely wanting to understand more.
Yeah.
Exactly what you're saying, going deeper because you're like, there's more here. There's more treasure to dig out. You know, there's more gold to find.
Can I give one thing? I guess this would be a piece of advice to wives for their husbands, since I'm a dude. And this is so helpful. Your husband might not want to ask the feeling questions. He might not want to probe too deep because he's a little scared of where it will lead. Mm-hmm. I mean, in all honesty, it could lead to a 2-hour diatribe or whatever. And if it does, it's okay. But just follow me. He needs to feel safe that if he's going to say, so how are you feeling kind of thing,
that's true.
Mm-hmm. That he knows that it's not going to open up Pandora's box to where he's then having to put things together that he has no idea how to put together. Yeah. So if you have, and I've done this on one of my Living Among Lions study where I'm like, first you got to pour your heart out to the Lord.
Yes.
And that automatically will begin to lighten the load in you. And after God has begun to lighten your load, then you can pour it out onto a friend or your spouse. So if I'm asking Tori a feeling question, I now know, you know, 24 years into marriage, almost 24 years into marriage, that Tori has the ability to reframe things now on her own.
Yeah.
So I know that if I'm asking her her feelings, she's going to give me already thought through thoughts. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like mature thoughts. And when I say mature, I'm not talking about just emotionally mature. I'm talking about like, she's thought about this for a little bit. Yeah. So I'm asking, and now she's going to be able to say, yeah, it stunk when this happened. And I really was frustrated when this happened. And she can talk about it for 20, 30 minutes or whatever. But then I know she's going to redeem it and turn it and be like, but you know what? Here's what I've decided I'm going to do. Man, that is so safe for me.
Yeah.
I can ask you feeling questions.
Yes.
So that's just a little something for the wives.
That is so true. And I think like, I for sure can pick up on this when I'm talking to you. There are sometimes where we'll kind of start going deep into something like, well, how are you feeling about this? Right. Like, and then I kind of know the limit. I kind of know, like probably after about 5 to 10 minutes of explaining, like, you know, this feeling, and I can kind of see in your face if you're able to stay there with me, or if we need to move on to something.
And then she's calling one of her friends later that night.
No, I just think that you're exactly right. Like, you do have to be able to read. You can't, like, some things, the timing of it is important. I think that sometimes, you know, it can get a little, feelings can get overwhelming to the other spouse, exactly what you're saying. And you have to be able to read, is this a good time to go deep into this conversation? Yeah. Or is this kind of a 5-minute, we're going to breeze over it, overview of kind of how I'm feeling and then move on? You know, I think it's important that you don't get kind of like, you don't get into this vortex of, of feeling that can really overwhelm the other person.
And if you do have something that's going to take a while for you to talk about, and specifically I'm talking about from the wife to the husband, then give him a heads up and ask him when would be good. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, hey, there's something that's going on with the kids, or there's something going on with school, or something's going on with us. Mm-hmm. There's something going on with one of my friends, and I really just need to talk through it. I don't need you to solve anything for me. I just really need to talk through it. It's probably going to take a little bit. When would work for you?
Yeah.
Like just asking that permission, I'm telling you, you will find that your husband will listen.
Yeah.
He'll do it and he'll be a good listener. Was there anything else
Duhigg said? Another thing that he said that I thought was really cool from all of his research is that super communicators ask 10 to 20 times more questions than the average person.
Oh, snap.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
So that's that curiosity again, like, you know, asking a lot of questions.
Yeah.
That's what super communicators, which what that to me, it says is that you're ready to listen.
Yeah.
Right. If you're asking questions, then you're a listener.
Yeah.
You're not like super communicators are not just talkers. They're not, you know, I think when we think of communicators, we think of people who can talk well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what a good communicator is someone yeah. who's a good talker. It's somebody who can connect
yeah.
with the other person through listening, asking questions, and then giving feedback.
Yeah, I love that. And, you know, hats off to Craig Groeschel and his wife.
Mm.
And they're fantastic people. I was backstage with them a month ago. And here these two folks are, they're running pretty much the, I don't know that there's another church in the world that has as many satellite campuses as theirs have. And Craig Groeschel literally invented the Bible app that has more downloads than any other app in history. And he asked me so many questions. I had to tell him to stop. Yeah. And I'm like, stop. I want to ask you questions. He's like, yeah, but you're so, this is, I'm just curious about you. I was like, dude, quit. And I did. I said, I could tell you're a great leader. Because you ask so many questions. That's really impressive. And I'm impressed. And I just want you to stop now and let me ask you some things, man. Yeah, you're the like, expert.
I want to learn from you.
So hats off to him. And it really is telling,
mm-hmm.
you know, when somebody asks that many questions. So,
yeah.
You know, the goal of conversation is connecting.
Yes.
And you will not have a conversation unless there's curiosity.
Yes.
So yeah. if you find yourself not being curious about your spouse, the first thing that you need to do, ask God to help you.
Yeah. Yeah, so
remember,
good.
Remember, God's not just your father. He's your father-in-law. Mm-hmm. He knows more about his son or daughter than you do.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows exactly what's going on in their lives. And as you begin to ask God that and you put your mind on it, just the act of praying to him about it will put your mind more into it. And you will find things popping into your head to be curious about.
Yeah, that's so good. One thing that he mentioned too that I thought was just so simple and so fascinating is he said the thing that super communicators all have in common is that there was something in their life that made them focus on communication.
Mm.
It's just yeah. so simple. It's like what we talk about all the yeah. time with the RAS, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like the thing that you focus on is the thing that you move towards.
Yeah.
And so just simply desiring to be a good communicator, that's what the best communicators start with.
That's
like,
good.
So it was like, he's like, you know, there's, I think that people can be like overwhelmed. Like I just am not a naturally good communicator or like, this is just not my strong suit. It's like, all you need is to want it.
Yeah.
All you need is to think about it and to be like, you know what? I want to be a better communicator.
Mm.
And that's where all of the best communicators start.
Yeah,
there's just so a desire to want to communicate well.
I've heard Tori say that so many times when people come to us for coaching or whatever. And one of the first things that she says, they can be talking with us about stuff. And typically I'll say, you know, we got some good news here. I got bad news and good news. The bad news is that you're fighting about something. The good news is that you have something worth fighting for because yeah. that's why you're here.
Yeah.
You know, so if you keep the good news in mind, we can handle the bad news.
Yeah.
If you know what you're fighting for, then we can handle what you're fighting about. And one of the first things Tori asks is, do you really want it? Like, what do you really want in your relationship? What do you really want? Yeah. And typically they respond favorably, like, well, we want to connect with each other. We want a deeply satisfying relationship with each other. Okay, good. If you really want that, then no matter what we tell you, you will activate on and you'll do it.
Yeah.
So I think the same is here that, the goal of conversation is connection. You will not have a conversation apart from curiosity. Ask God, your father-in-law, to help you be more curious about your spouse. You will dig under the facts for the feelings.
Yeah.
And you will discover a treasure trove of awesome stuff about your spouse you never knew.
I love it. That's so good.
That's it. Do you have a spot? Do you have a recipe?
Recipe? I do. So last week I came across this old fashioned donut recipe that it was a loaf of bread that this girl had made, and it was called old fashioned
donut.
Old fashioned donut bread, I think I want to say, maybe. Anyways, I was like, okay, I've got to try this because growing up, we went to Dunkin' Donuts. Like that was our tradition. Pretty much.
Well, I mean,
like
yeah.
3 days a week, we went through the drive-thru at Dunkin' Donuts on our way to school. And my dad would get his coffee and then sometimes he would get, every once in a while we'd get a donut, and mom always got the old fashioned donut because she's like, that was like the healthy option because there's no sugar. It's just basically, it's just basically like bread. Like it's flour and a lot of nutmeg, and there's very, very little sugar in it. So she always got that. And that is like I love that donut, an old fashioned donut.
I think it tastes like crap compared to,
I know. And I feel like if you didn't, yeah, exactly. If you didn't grow up on it and your first donut was a Krispy Kreme donut, you will hate this.
Yeah. Because Dunkin' Donuts is like cakey. It's like, you don't want it cakey.
Okay. But
it's got to melt in your mouth.
I was talking to one of my friends at CrossFit, and I'm like, I found this recipe, and she's like, I love old fashioned. So there are people out there that love an old fashioned donut.
Weird people.
Yeah. If you grew up in the North, maybe, I don't know. Yeah. She was from the North too. So anyways,
weirdos.
So I had to try it out, and Jake and JJ, one of his buddies, was over. Everyone loved it. I was so surprised. So I'll share with you guys, if you grew up like I did, eating old fashioned donuts.
But if you grew up in the South, we like some Krispy Kreme. Yeah,
if you're a Krispy Kreme donut person, just ignore this recipe.
Yeah. The one thing that does make this recipe actually pretty good though is the amount of white icing you put on the top.
No, I didn't put any white icing. You're talking about you had my white cinnamon icing roll. I made cinnamon rolls with white icing.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh. Are you going to do the recipe on that? Sourdough sandwich?
That's not
rolls?
My recipe. I have to.
Oh, you?
Yeah.
You stole that one?
I stole that one.
Oh, got it.
But, you know, I know the person.
Yeah.
Maybe she'll share.
Oh, you put cinnamon on the top of these donuts.
Actually, we've already told it. This is Lori's recipe.
It's really good.
Lori, if you don't let me share, everyone's going to be mad at you now.
We will remove your index finger.
But no, this didn't have any kind of icing or anything on it. But anyways.
But it would have tasted great though.
So this recipe was made in a loaf pan, as a bread.
Yeah.
But I made it in donut form because I have these little donut cutout pans that you can do baked donuts in.
Yeah.
They're from Target, and they were, I like them so much better like that than like a bread. Do you know what's funny?
What?
When
knock, knock.
When this just reminded me, when you were out of town, when the kids were little, and I was just like looking for things to do with the kids to pass the night, pass the time
so
at
long.
Night. Like the nights were so freaking long.
Yeah.
And I remember one night we were just trying to look for something fun to do. So I went to Dunkin' Donuts and I got a box of
donuts.
No, donuts.
Oh.
Just all assorted donuts, like all the flavors.
Okay.
And then I brought them home and told the kids we're doing like this fun experiment. We're going to see who knows what knows the type of donut. Right. So we blindfolded all the kids and they each got a little bite of it.
Okay.
And then they had to like, whoever got the most won something.
Yeah.
And you had to shout it out. Like if you had to shout out the flavor and you got a point, if you got
that's
it right.
Cool.
Yeah. And I'll never forget, cause we still to this day, always, we call old fashioned donuts bread. Because when Jake ate the old fashioned donut, he shouted out bread.
Bread. Yeah. Cause it's what it tastes like.
Because it's just no sugar. It just tastes bread. Like bread.
That's really funny.
So if you guys want a good bread donut, try this recipe.
Hey, you know, this is what day is it? We're the beginning of April. We just had 3 birthdays in March. So we had 3 kids. We had one kid turn 22, one kid turn 20, and one kid turn 18. Mm-hmm. So we narrowed it down that if our kids were all born in March, you like really wanted me in July.
Oh, geez. It was
right?
June.
Was it June? Might have been June and July.
Every other
vacation.
June. Yeah. We got pregnant.
Time to get pregnant again, and, girl.
Which gave us what we call March Madness.
March Madness.
At
oh,
the Benham's house.
Indeed.
Because it is a madhouse in March. I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
I'm so tired of party planning.
Making food and all that kind of stuff. Well, hey, this was fun. Connecting through conversation. Be curious. Mm-hmm. Okay. Stay curious and enjoy your connection. This was fun.
Yeah. That's
good recipe tour.
See you guys next week.
Peace.